Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host, Lee Marie Hostetter. Haley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a hot second. We took a little break because Lee Marie was in Florida with her family. How are you feeling after your vacay?
I feel absolutely amazing. I don't know. I literally cannot remember the last time I went a whole entire week deloading from the gym. And it's day two back on at the gym and on prep. And I feel so good at the gym. Like, I am ready to make PRs. I am ready to go hard. I am so ready for this prep. So
it was really sharpening the saw, kind of just before you cut into the wood.
Definitely. That's a great analogy.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys didn't catch that, she's on day two of her prep files. So we're excited. All right. So we're here to talk about mistakes. Maybe these are mistakes we've made, but they're definitely mistakes to avoid when you are living the prep life. So we can just kind of go back and forth. We both separately, without sharing, kind of came up with our list. And I think we only had about one that overlapped because, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of things that you can make mistakes with when it comes to living the prep life.
Yes. So learn from us. Don't make these mistakes.
Yes.
It's a good
yes.
reminder for me because I'm just starting prep. So just to remember to don't do these things. Some of these things are things that you just need to know and you won't ever do them. Some of these things are things that I have to remind myself every time I do prep.
Yeah.
Are habits that are bad ones and you need to break them.
Yeah. Have you ever seen The Fabulous Miss Maisel, that show?
No.
She's a female comedian like in the 1950s or whatever. And it was before kind of women's rights or liberation. And I have this picture. So when I started prep, like my prep for the summer, like on day one, I was showing how I was Miss Maisel, like when she's like measuring and she's in this like little leotard and all excited about like taking her measurements. And then I don't know if you don't watch the show, it's probably not relevant, but she's like a hot mess when her husband cheats on her and she's like got wet hair. She's in like a trench coat. She's like total mess, like had been crying, had been drinking wine. And I'm like, this is me at the end of prep. But I just feel like,
relatable. Very
yeah,
relatable.
Like you're, you have it all together. You're all excited. And then you're just like with the cat Drogan by the
yep.
end. But
yep.
It's fun. It's worth it. It's hard work, but it's good stuff. All right. So why don't you start with your number, not necessarily number one, but your first thing on your list that you had.
So the top thing, and I don't know that I have ever done this, but I have had some athletes do this, and I think it's very easy to do, very typical, and it is hiding things from your coach in your check-in or even avoiding check-ins. So if
yes.
you have not been sticking to your plan and you feel ashamed of it, or you made some mistakes, you did like a binge, or, you know, something happened and you just don't want to tell your coach because you feel bad about it. Listen, it is very important that you tell your coach everything in the improvement season. Yes, but especially in prep. And we are not here to judge you or condemn you or shame you in any way. We need to know what's going on and what led to those behaviors. Prep is difficult. So I think a couple of the biggest mistakes are things like going off your diet, you know, missing workouts, things like that, binges, stuff like that. If that's happening, we need to know so that we can get to the root of it, find out why it's happening. Maybe you are choosing the wrong types of food, so you're actually not, you know, eating the volume that you could be eating. You know, maybe it's like a mental thing. We need to do some mental work. Maybe, you know, there's other solutions we can find to make it easier. Yes, prep is difficult, but I think there are definitely ways of doing it in a healthy way, mentally and physically. But if you don't tell your coach what you're doing, we don't have any way of adjusting or helping you along the process.
Yeah, it's so much, there's so much data that, you know, I've made that mistake myself of just like kind of keeping things out of my check-in or, you know, kind of hiding, maybe taking like photos and not so great lighting or something. I mean, I've been doing this for 12 years. So like, trust me, I've kind of done a lot of the things, not proud of, but I would say, I will say that out of all of the different things that I've hidden or I've like, you know, skipped a check-in just because I like, you know, binged or something like that. Now I find it really important to be 100% candid. And because I know after so many years of doing this myself and like working with other athletes that I'm not going to, you know, I've found myself a coach that won't judge me and that won't like punish me. And so I feel like it's a safe place to share. And I think that that's really important as a coach is to create a safe space to share where you're not like, okay, you had a binge. So now I'm going to slash your calories and I'm going to give you more cardio. Sometimes that makes the situation way worse than it perpetuates some cycles of bad behaviors where, you know, maybe they actually need more calories because like their baseline isn't high enough and they're cheating on their diet and it would be better to just do an average of higher calories and things like that. So I just, you know, I encourage my athletes to be as candid as possible. We'll make it through whatever the struggle is. We'll troubleshoot it and we'll make adjustments. But yeah, the more you can tell your coach, the better, because if they don't know, there's only so much that they can do to help you and support you. And it's important to have somebody to lean on, I think, too, when you're struggling, especially mentally. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was our one. I think that we definitely had an overlap with, because that was my last one. And that was your first one that I had listed out. So my next one is just, it kind of like segues into what I was saying about how I've hired a coach that I do feel safe. You know, in the past, I've felt like scared and almost intimidated by some of my coaches, which is a weird thing to admit or say out loud to me. But like, I did really feel like I would get like a lot of judgment or like almost like a punishment, where it wasn't a safe space to, share. So I think it's really important that you interview a coach before hiring them. You know, I had hired many different coaches throughout the years that I never got on the phone with and interviewed. And I think that if I would have had a conversation about like their philosophies or, you know, now we have social media where people basically can interview you by listening to your podcast or listening to your YouTube channel. And they kind of get a sense of like who you are. But back in the day, you know, that just wasn't a thing. And I just think it's really important to have a conversation so that it's a good fit on both ends. So my one mistake would be not interviewing coaches in the past before hiring them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, I just think there are a lot of coaches out there and there are a lot of good coaches, and it's important to just find someone you vibe with and that your energy is the same. And there could be a lot of really good coaches that you just don't vibe with. And so the way they communicate maybe doesn't really sit well with you, or vice versa. So yeah, interview coaches, definitely find one that makes you feel good about it too.
Yeah. And if they don't have time to talk with you on the phone, which I've found that it's like, if they don't have time to talk to you as a prospect for like 30 minutes out of their day to hire, you know, for you to hire them, then what's it going to be like when you actually have them as your coach and they're, you know, you're the client and they're not willing to go above and beyond to kind of like communicate or make a connection. So
yeah. Okay. So my next one is one that I've definitely done before, and it is abusing non-nutritive sweeteners. So non-nutritive or just like zero calorie sweeteners. So that includes artificial sweeteners. It includes things like stevia or sugar alcohols. Stevia usually sits pretty well with me, but I do know that some people have reactions to it. Stevia is an all natural sweetener, but it is no like zero calories. And then you have things like Splenda or aspartame or even the sugar alcohols like xylitol and erythritol and things like that. And there, I'm a big proponent of using non-nutritive sweeteners in your prep. But you got to really be careful not to abuse them, and be careful because they're in most of your supplements, like your protein powders, your BCAAs, your pre-workouts, a lot of those, even like electrolyte drink mixes can have them in it. So if you're doing that, and then plus you might be adding things like stevia or Splenda or sugar-free creamer to your coffee, you might be chewing gum, you know, you might be drinking like a zero calorie soda or something like that, and they can add up. And what it has done for me is cause bloating and like problems with my digestion and things like that, just because I'm having so much of it. And so to just watch how much you have, use, you know, be sparingly, use a little bit of it, and using things like that in to kind of try to overcome your hunger. Listen, you're gonna be hungry on prep. You just are. Drink some water and handle it. You shouldn't be starving all the time, but you are gonna have some times where you're just gonna have to deal with a craving and not like chew an entire pack of gum, because that's not gonna help. And you're gonna get bloated usually.
And it's gonna add 20 carbs.
Well, that too. Yeah, a lot of those things actually do have calories. So
Yeah. So I would say I totally agree with you. And that brings up my, I remember when I was hooked on Walden Farms.
Oh yes.
And I would take an entire bottle of that like zero calorie syrup, maple syrup. And I'd put it on my like pancakes or whatever.
Wait, and a whole bottle at one time?
Yeah. I would literally go through a whole bottle. Like, wow. Yeah, it was bad. That was no wonder I had SIBO like after that. I mean, my gut was messed up. I took that stuff out. I instantly lost 3 pounds. Like,
wow. With
like the next, like of just pulling that out. I mean, it was definitely, it wasn't zero calories for the servings I was having, but also so much Splenda or sucralose. And then another one that I used to be addicted to was I would constantly drink BCAAs like all the time. And not only does that like mess with your protein like synthesis spikes and your protein bolus, because it's actually like, you know, a bit of protein. I mean, it had artificial sweeteners too. So yeah, I agree. The GI tract did not like that. And it took me like years actually to kind of get it right after all of that abuse.
So. Well, another point too that you made too is like that it's not, eating the whole bottle is not going to be zero calories. So
yeah.
there's kind of some rules around nutrition labels and facts.
Yeah.
And if it's under a certain amount, I don't remember the specific, but if it's under a certain amount, you can say zero calories, but look at the serving size, because the serving size could be like a teaspoon. And if you're taking the whole bottle, I mean, a big thing are like those spray oils or those seasonings, like the popcorn seasonings or the cheesy whatever seasoning. If you're putting half the bottle on your dinner, that is going to be some calories. It's not zero calories.
Yeah, I don't think people realize too that everything but the bagel seasoning is actually really high in calories, because the seeds in it are fats.
Wow.
It's like sesame seed and I forget what the other one is, but yeah, you have to be really careful with those, because those serving sizes are not like, it's not the same as doing like a powdered, like a garlic powder or something like that, you know, or pepper, which really doesn't have any calories, but I digress.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. So my next one was thinking I only needed 12 weeks to prep. I don't know why that was like a magic number back in the day, but like for the first 5 years that I prepped, I was teaching at the time too. So like, I remember just always starting my prep at the beginning of like my summer break or like right at the end of the school year, and like competing and just only prepping for such a short amount of time. And it was like the rest of the season. I mean, yeah, I probably lifted weights, but like, I didn't follow a diet. Like I didn't, you know, I wasn't in it other than just those 12 magic 12 weeks. So, I mean, I think we now know, like we have a lot more information about like the fact that that's not the best way to preserve the most amount of muscle, and to give your body enough time, to get actually stage lean. And definitely the leanness of stage has changed, in fairness. You didn't have to be as lean back in the day either when we were giving ourselves 12 weeks. But I think through research and through experience and things like that, we know that the longer you prep, the more time you give your body, the more muscle you're going to preserve, rather than doing like some drastic crazy cut.
Yeah. I think too, Just like the level of leanness has changed, the level of muscularity is changing
Yes,
too,
yes.
which means your off season can't just be off season. Like you have to have a focused improvement season. You really, if you're going to be serious about this sport, you really need to be doing the prep life year round. And you need to be working on, you know, building muscle, tracking your calories, tracking your workouts, doing your supplements. I mean, in improvement season, you're focused on getting your health back and things like that too. So your focus switches a little bit, but I don't think it needs to be like, you still need to have that athlete mindset and be focused on like, I'm an athlete year round. You're an athlete year round, like not just in prep. Prep just switches priorities a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Do you want to go to your third point?
So that kind of segues into it a little bit, because if we're doing the prep life all year round, but especially in prep, a big mistake that we don't want to make is turning into like a social outcast or hibernating. So going into a prep and thinking, I'm just going to put my head down. I'm going to eat my Tupperware meals, my Ziploc bag meals. I'm going to do everything perfectly, go into the gym, go home, do, and never go out with people, never hang out, not get together with your friends, your family, not have a social life. I think that's really important to keep that up during prep. You might, especially near the end, need to limit your gatherings just to preserve energy. But for the most part of prep, you should be able to have enough energy to do things like that and just be chill about it. You can let them know that you're in prep. I mean, they should, if they're good friends and family, they should know that this is what you do and you're in prep. But there are so many ways of having your own prep meals. You know, you have great tips for drinking, like having zero calorie drinks when you go out with friends. You can go out for coffee and drink black coffee. Like, have fun. You don't have to be eating or drinking alcohol to have fun with people. And you don't have to be a social outcast on prep.
Yeah, I went to a Sporting KC game with my friends. That was super fun. But we went out to dinner before, and you know, they all had drinks, like alcoholic drinks. I had club soda with lime, and I had a blast. And I ordered a very plain, like salad. It was basically like lettuce, grilled chicken, some onions, and like, I don't know, banana peppers or something. And he was like, "That's all you want?" I'm like, "Well, I'll take some salt and pepper." And he thought I was crazy, but I'm like, this works. And then I can feel like I'm enjoying the meal because I am ordering something off the menu. But like you said, you're not, you know, isolating yourself. So you actually have friends when all this is done. Okay. So my third one is starting a prep. So the mistake of starting a prep during a time of stress, whether that's personal relationships, stress with family or friends, trying to compete. And these kind of all go together in my mind, with low finances. So because competing is expensive, and just prepping in a season that, like, if you are in a busy season, like for example, I have, I was just going to say she's a tax, she's an accountant. So obviously they have a busy season, right? Like tax season, she does not prep in the spring, and we target her shows like in the fall when things are died down at work and things like that. So I think just like seeing those seasons and understanding, you know, I had talked about like how when I was a teacher and, you know, like back in the day, I would do it in the summer and stuff, like when you have more time to kind of like dedicate, or if you're in school. You know, I've had a couple competitors, they just got through their final exams, but they're getting ready for a show in August, because, you know, school is winding down for them. And so they're going to be ready to really like kind of dive in the summer and stuff like that. So just some examples that I have personally, but also for myself. So any thoughts there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had a few clients that jumped right in and then they had like job changes right away, or they were moving, things like that.
Yeah, moving's also hard too.
If you are like in a serious relationship, committed relationship, if you have a significant other, you know, you want to be on the same page, because prep does kind of take over your life, and it is an expense, and it takes up a lot of your time and energy, and you really need the support of that spouse. And not like, I've had a few competitors have to jump out of prep just because that it just became an issue. And it wasn't like a bad thing, thankfully. They were just like, this is just not the time because it's causing like a rift in our relationship, and or they're not like as supportive. And so you really want to talk that through with someone. Hopefully they will support it if it's your passion, or even if it's just a bucket list thing. But you want to talk it over from the beginning and get their support, because you're going to need it.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
Sure. Okay, so my next one is, I do struggle with this a little bit, but I'm getting better. Is waiting until the last few weeks of your prep to practice posing. Personally, I just actually during my last prep, I had kind of a switch where we made a couple of tweaks to my routine, and all of a sudden, posing was way more fun. And I think it was just because I was able to flow a little better. And I looked forward to posing. I would pose at the end of every single gym session, because I had
That's
this room
awesome.
at my gym with a big mirror. It was a studio, and I would just go in there. I had my heels with me. I took it in and I posed. But it's definitely more fun when you're leaner to
Yes.
pose. And it's not as fun when
I
you're just
know.
getting out of improvement season. You're kind of thick.
Yeah.
You don't have abs. You don't have the lines as much. But it's so important to work those muscles, to practice your vacuuming, to get those movements smooth and like second nature, to be practicing it the whole time and not just at the end. Becky Clausen, I think that's how you say her last name. She just posted something on her Instagram. She's a head judge at tons of shows. She's a judge at the Olympia. She just posted something to her Instagram the other day that was all about the importance of posing and how that can make or break your placing. And I think it has been a huge trend over the last year to just for judges to talk about that and how important it is. And it's kind of like they're saying, hey, don't waste your whole prep by getting up on stage and looking uncomfortable or stiff in your posing and not presenting the physique that you worked so hard to do. And so that starts, you know, I mean, you should be doing it during your improvement season, but for sure, as soon as prep starts, just set a schedule, pose, you know, every single day or certain days of the week. Do it. Like, I love doing it with either before or after my gym session, because I know I'm going to do that. So if I just have my heels in my bag and I hit a few poses, and then usually if I just tell myself, you're just going to hit your routine, you know, four times or whatever, it only takes like 5 minutes. But once I get into it, then I usually go a little bit longer because it is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's good. That is a huge change for you. And I definitely, it took me probably 8 or 10 years to like come to the realization that posing needed to be worked on, not just like the last couple of weeks when I felt really lean and good. Because I'm that same way. So I decided, because I'm completely blind without my glasses or like without my contacts. So when I wake up in the morning and weigh myself, I'll have my heels next to my scale. And because like, I know this sounds probably pretty weird, but I like to pose naked, like, cause I have a bunch of mirrors like in my bathroom. So it's easy to like see my lines and stuff like that. But when I'm in the improvement season and I don't want to look at my like body, cause I'm kind of like self-conscious about like what you're saying, like the fluff and everything, I won't put on my glasses. So I can't really see. But at least I'm like doing the bodily movements and things like that to keep.
That's a good point though, too, because you don't have a mirror on stage. So
you're you don't.
Without seeing yourself. So I like to pose in front of a mirror so I can make these little adjustments, but I think it's just as important to run through your routine, not seeing it. So
100%.
That mind muscle connection, because you're looking at the judges, you're not looking at a mirror.
Which is good too, to like record yourself, because you also can't see the back of you in your back pose and stuff like that. So it's always good to record as well. But yeah, I would definitely agree on that one. All right. What's your next? Oh wait, no, we're on to me. Okay. Having an improvement season, without staying on track. So I think you kind of alluded to this originally when we talked about like hiding from your coach and things like that. I think a lot of people feel like the show is so expensive that like once the show's over, they're like, okay, I'm going to make sure my package goes until the show day. And they don't really consider the fact that like your reverse is super important to be checking in, like your improvement season. Those are all really important times to be checking in. So I think, you know, just the mistake of making the investment only on the lean out side of things is like an early mistake that I had.
Yeah, I would say this counts for both the serious athlete and the bucket list athlete, because the serious athlete, you're going to get that judge's feedback, and your improvement season is the time that you're going to actually get better and come back to the stage. Those improvements have been in the improvement season, not in prep. Yep. So you should be able to take that judge's feedback. That's all that matters. I mean, yes, your coach should have some feedback for you too, but honestly, the judge's opinion is the only opinion that matters at the end of the day, because they're the ones that are going to place you. They're the ones that are going to give you that pro card. They're the ones that are going to give you that Olympia qualification or whatever you're going for if you're a serious athlete. So get your judge's feedback and then take that into the improvement season and work with your coach. If it's just a bucket list item for you, listen, you just spent maybe 6-8 months getting in the best shape of your life. You don't want to just see that go in like a month. You don't want to waste that hard work. You want to work really hard on that reverse diet so that you can get your metabolism healthy again, so that you can keep a good level of fitness and maintain on, you know, higher levels of food. Yeah. You don't just want to go back to, you know, wherever you started. If you're doing this as a bucket list item, you probably want to be fit and you want to look fit. And there is kind of an in-between, not stage lean, but not like overweight or feeling uncomfortably like fluffy, we call it, but where you can maintain a good level of fitness, a good level of leanness, muscularity, have a good healthy metabolism and be able to eat food. But it takes time to get there. And I remember you telling me, I think it was last year, that it takes the reverse diet is going to take me about 2 months. And I remember that like really helped me, because I was starting to get really annoyed with dieting. And you're like, it's going to take you about 2 months. And that just shifted in my head. It was like, okay, this is going to take like 8 weeks for me to even get back up to a place where I don't feel like I'm dieting anymore. But it's worth it if you can maintain a good fitness level, which is what you want anyways, if this was a bucket list item.
Yeah. And I think that segues into one of my points, where you don't want to join a prep with a lot of adaptations, like high adaptations. So I just wanted to point that out, because you're talking about getting rid of the adaptations. So our cardio gets really high, our calories get really low, and then we need to reverse out of those adaptations, whether it's like steps, like days of training, you know, amount of cardio and just calories in general. We need to slowly get rid of those, so that when we actually start a prep, we're starting at like all gas tanks full. So your calorie bucket, your tank is completely full. So if your coach needs to like drain that bucket to get a deficit, they've got a lot to work with. If you're starting with 1300 calories or something like that, they don't have anywhere to go. Same with if you're already doing like 2 hours of cardio, even any cardio at all. Like, I try to get my athletes to the point where they're not doing any cardio in the improvement season. Yeah. And then you have a full gas tank. So then any cardio that you add is a stimulus, and it's adding a deficit that they didn't have prior. And same with getting steps low. You know, if you're only doing like 8 to 10,000 steps in the improvement season, then when you do 12 to 15 in a cut, then that's a huge difference in your movement on the regular. You know, so I guess I kind of skipped ahead to mine. So if you want to jump back into yours, on your list.
Okay. So this one I've had to catch myself doing as well. And it is, I wasn't quite sure how to say this, but like encouraging or provoking an obsessive food focus. So
food porn is what I call it.
Yeah. Food porn. Exactly.
For lack of a better term.
It is. I mean, I do enjoy some of these things. So things like watching YouTube, like what I eat in a day, or cheat meal videos, like 10,000 calorie challenges and things like that, or like scrolling through like the food TikTok or Instagram reels of people like just showing them like making the food or eating the food, or like watching Food Network, watching them cook things. I do enjoy that a little bit during prep. And I think a little bit of it is fine. And sometimes like I will, like, I love cooking and baking things. I'll go over to my mom's house and I'll cook something or bake something, and then I will just feed my family and leave it there. And I'll leave. I like doing stuff like that. So it's not like you can't ever do it, but watch that you don't become super food focused, so you're not always just ingesting that food porn, things like that. I used to watch those videos during cardio. It really does get in your head and it makes the craving so much worse.
The more the more you focus on something, the bigger it gets. And I really am a true believer of that. And when you look at your popular page or whatever it is, and it's like gooey cookies getting pulled apart and like all this stuff, like you've been watching too much food porn.
Exactly.
And it will really make you rebound bad if you get too overly obsessed.
Yeah.
And there's another extreme to that too, where I've seen the orthorexia side of it in a lot of competitors, where they will like demonize certain foods as good or bad, and like you can only have foods from this list that are good, and anytime you eat from something else, it's bad. That's another really big one that I didn't list out, but even just some people obsess over like quality, where they have to have organic and they have to like just have single ingredient foods like all the time, and that's not good either. It's definitely not healthy in that term. It's actually a type of eating disorder.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to be careful too, because during your improvement season, that's the time when you can enjoy some other kinds of foods and things like that. Mm-hmm. Your body can handle a lot. So if you put some sugar into it, like in your improvement season, or if you work it into your macros, if you have a refeed meal, and like your liver and kidneys can handle a lot, your body can handle a lot. You don't need to worry about a few things getting in that aren't perfectly quote unquote clean or pure. For the most part, we're like, I love how you say we're elite eaters. We eat better than most people. For the most part, we're watching our vitamins, we're watching our supplements, we're watching the amounts of food that we take in and making sure that we're hitting these things. So don't like obsess over it. But with the, like, just back to the food focus thing, I used to watch like those food videos during my cardio, and I actually switched. My last prep was during the CrossFit games, and I watched the CrossFit games on my phone during cardio, and then I started watching like videos from the CrossFit athletes or from like IFBB pros, and watching their workouts and their like how hardcore they did in their fitness and their eating.
That was
entertaining, but it helped motivate me. Because I mean, CrossFit athletes are crazy and they do a totally different kind of prep than I do, but their determination and how hard they work is really motivating to me. So now I'm just like looking forward to prepping this summer because it's the Olympics. So
superior athletes.
Exactly.
Making exceptional decisions if you want to look exceptional.
Yeah. And it's super motivating to help you versus like watching people eat food.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I really enjoyed our time. I'm so glad that we're back recording more episodes. If there are any kind of topics that you listeners enjoy, please feel free to comment in YouTube. I know it's a little bit harder on the prep or on the podcast part of things too. We always appreciate a rating or review. That definitely helps the algorithm for other people to find us that are interested in similar topics. We love that. We try to keep it ad-free. So if you can just pay it forward with a rating or review, that would be very helpful. But also feel free to DM us on Instagram. You can find us at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. We always love to hear your comments and questions. And I do believe somebody asked me, it's funny that you brought up the gum thing and all those trace calories, because we were talking about how many calories Tic Tacs have and how many calories and carbs that gum has. And she was kind of surprised, but I was like, well, when you're in prep, it's like the nitty gritty, you know, that really makes the difference. Like when all things are equal, you know, you got to start looking at those little nitpicky things. So anyway, I digress. If you would like to leave any sort of feedback for us, we always love, we want to share what you want to hear. So please feel free to reach out. And if you would like to apply for coaching with either one of us, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the get started button. Thanks for listening, guys.